Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News, here to bring you all your Bravo gossip, tea, etc. Whatever else kind of comes under that umbrella, news, all that kind of stuff, verified, unverified, everything, okay? I always give warnings when it's unverified. I'm not out here spouting gossip as facts, but, you know, I just like to give you the gossip because we all like the gossip. Even if we know it's not true, sometimes it's fun to just hear it and live in that fake reality for a moment to distract ourselves from our lives, right? I do that. I mean, listen, that's why Reddit threads exist. You know, a lot of times, like, you go on like the Bravo Reddit or Summer House, just so you can hear, like, here's what I'm hearing, some gossip from whatever, because it just gives you a little something to tide you over until the next season. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. Okay. So there's not a ton of news today. One thing that I do want to say before we get into it is I know there's a lot of you who are thirsty for, and I don't mean that in an insulting way, I mean it in a good way because it's me too, thirsty for Secret Lives of Mormon Wives content, okay? So I did record an episode with Manny from The Mix with Manny where we talked about, you know, mom talk news. We didn't do like a recap of the episodes. There's tons of that out there on many other podcasts. But we did just kind of talk about all the gossip and news that and things that have come up on social media since the show aired. So I'm going to release that later this week. So you can look forward to that. It has already been up on my Patreon since last week. You know, if you want to listen to it and also support a creator like myself, you can buy the episode for, I set it at $3, but then Apple is doing this stupid thing where if you get things through the iOS or the app or whatever, that you have to pay them like a fee. I can't do anything about it. I'm sorry. So it'll be like $4 and something, or you can subscribe to my Patreon, you know, for the month. You can just do a month and then cancel. It's, you know, $5 a month. If you want to just check it out, see if you like it, you're not like, you know, locked in forever or anything. It's patreon.com/BravoandBotox. Great way to support me and get extra content. All right. So we talked all about it. We had a great time, but I am going to release it to everyone as well later this week. And I do have one additional Secret Lives of Mormon Wives news story that has come up since I recorded with Manny. So I am going to talk about that today, even though I know it's not Bravo news. But you know what? I put timestamps, so if you didn't watch that show and you're not interested, you can always skip that part. I'm actually going to put it at the end, I think. Just, you know, keep all the Bravo stuff first and then do that second. But, you know, when there is big news with that show, I probably am going to work it into the weekly news episodes because I'm just finding that like most of my followers, listeners, people that I'm interacting with, or at least who are commenting, are watching it. So, you know, listen, I mean, I put those roundups up for Secret Lives of Mormon Wives and they are crazy. Like the amount of likes and shares and comments is way more than, you know, any other post I put up. I haven't had action like this since like Scandoval. People love this show. So if you haven't watched it, listen, I recommend that you do. If you're not in the US, you can't have Hulu. It's on Disney Plus. Or, you know, I don't know where else you can find it, but it's definitely on Disney Plus and Hulu. Again, it's a good watch. Even if you start it and you're like, meh, because I started it and like the first episode, I was like, meh. But then it just after that first episode, and, you know, there's an arrest and a police thing and it gets wild. So, yeah, it's worth sticking it out for. OK, so I do, though, want to start today by I don't know how to combine this because it's sort of Beverly Hills news, but it's also sort of OC news, but it's also general news. So whatever, we'll just do Beverly Hills and Real Housewives of OC kind of together, because here's the reason. So Ronnie and Ben from Watch What Crappens, the very popular Bravo recap podcast, which I'm sure many of you listen to. I'm a big fan of them. I've always been a fan of them. I listen to them every week. I love their recaps. To me, they do recaps the best, and I love them. They're just very funny. They do these imitations. They're great. So they did like a team up. Not like a team up, but they did. They went on two teas in a pod or whatever that podcast is called that Teddy and Tamara have. And I guess Teddy reached out to them and asked them to come on. And so one episode is on the Two T's podcast feed and the other one is on the Watch What Crappens feed. So there's two parts to it. Okay. Now, you know, I think some people were like, oh, they're selling out or whatever about the Watch What Crappens guys for going on there. I disagree with that. I think, you know, you get an opportunity to get new listeners. Okay, and I know they already have a huge podcast, but this is their career. This is what they do full time. They don't have other jobs. Like, this is what they do. And they're very good at it. And they deserve to take opportunities and grow. And I listened to it. I thought it was, both episodes were fucking fantastic, hilarious. I thought they stayed true to themselves and their opinions. And apparently they stayed a little too true to their opinions, according to Teddy. Because Ms. Teddy Mellencamp cut a part out. So if you listen to it, I guess there's this one part where they ask the guy. So even if you don't listen to Watch What Crappens and you don't know who they are, just, you know, just follow along with me because this is still a good story. So they go on the podcast and Tamara and Teddy ask Ronnie and Ben, who are your basically favorite housewives and who are your least favorite? And we get the answer from Ben. We get his favorite and his least favorite. We get the favorite from Ronnie, his favorite being Lisa Vanderpump, which I'm sure pissed off Teddy. But then we don't get his least favorite. And it sort of just like jumps to the next thing. And it was a little weird. Like, I have to be honest, I think I was driving when I was listening to this part, or I was doing something else. Maybe I was at work. I didn't really notice it that much, but then I was on Reddit reading what, you know, people's reactions to the episode, and people were like, did I miss something? Like, was this part weird? So then I went back and I was like, oh yeah, it is kind of weird. Like, there was some weird editing or something. So, okay. It turns out that Teddy edited this part out, okay? Because Ronnie stayed true to himself and told the truth and said, you know, my least favorite housewife is Kyle Richards, which I feel him so deeply on, because as anyone who listens to my podcast regularly knows, you know, I try to give her the benefit of the doubt just because otherwise I get a lot of angry DMs from Kyle fans, but I'm not a Kyle fan. Okay. I'm just not, I can't help it. It's not because of even her and her sisters. It's everything. Okay. I can list 19,000 reasons why. So I feel him on that. She's not my least favorite of all time, but she's at the bottom of the list. Let's say that. So he said, Kyle, and then apparently, so I was listening to what he was saying about this on their podcast. I think it's at the beginning of their OC recap, if you want to hear it. And basically he was saying that, you know, he said Kyle, he got into it with Teddy. They got into an argument about it. Tamara kind of stepped in and like, you know, broke it up, for lack of a better word. Not that, obviously, you know, it's not a physical fight, but broke up the verbal sparring. And he was saying that he feels like, you know, Kyle is the one who sells stories to, you know, whatever, different places. Or at least like, you know, she has done that and, you know, and he gave some examples, whatever, and they got into a whole thing about it. And then Teddy fucking cuts it out. I am shook by this, because not because I'm shocked that Teddy would do this. But just that she is such a little Kyle ass kisser that she cannot even, you won't even allow someone who's not you, okay, a different person. This isn't Teddy talking shit about Kyle. She defended her, but you won't even let like negative vibes about Kyle or someone's opinion that isn't glowing, you know, rainbows and sunshine about Kyle. You don't even want to put that out into the stratosphere. Like, I'm sorry, but that is pathetic. I think that's pathetic. I cannot believe they cut it out. Don't have these guys on your podcast. Like, you reached out to them. And yes, you have the right to like, maybe like cut and edit and do whatever you have to do. It's your podcast. Fine. But like, really, would Kyle have been that butthurt? Well, I guess she would have. She probably would have, actually, now that I think about it. It's like, what kind of relationship, like what kind of like codependent yes man relationship does Teddy have with Kyle? Like, it's actually kind of sad, honestly. Like, it's just, or you know, is it that Ronnie just had really good points and maybe Teddy just couldn't go up against him and she probably tried and failed, but I don't know. Anyways, that is one thing I kind of noticed when I watched the whole episode. Like, listen, you know, Tamra and Teddy, like, I don't think of them as like the dumbest of housewives or anything like that. But, you know, there were a lot of times where they were debating things with Ronnie and Ben where, like, if I'm going to be frank, there was a lot of holes in Tamra and Teddy's arguments and a lot of like logical fallacies and things like that. And I think they didn't really, you know what they were getting into, maybe. And, you know, as much as like these guys do like a fun podcast and they do imitations, they also, in my opinion, have intelligent, you know, recaps and thoughtful opinions. And yeah, so I just think Tamra and Teddy really shit the bed with this one. I think they should have played it. I think they would have got, I also think Tamra and Teddy would have gotten a lot more listens. It would have gotten them a lot more publicity and attention, but apparently, you know, Teddy and her little minion Kyle or vice versa or whatever just can't handle it. They can't handle an opinion that's the opposite of theirs, which it's like, why are you in this business? Like, I don't know. Anyways, I just needed to share that with you all. Anyways, not that I needed like another reason to dislike Teddy and Tamra, but they still gave me one. Just when I think they can't get worse, they get worse. Now, the other thing that Tamra kind of mentioned in passing that is now like making its rounds on social media, because I think she talks about it in more detail on a newer episode, or maybe it's from the same episode, is she made a claim that a lot of the hate against her on social media is from bots and that someone is buying and paying bots to hate on her. And she's saying that on her new, I just saw the clip today, and she goes as far as saying 50% of the hate out there is from bots. I don't think so, Tamra. Listen, as the kind of like tweet collector, okay, I'm not everywhere, obviously. Well, I'm pretty everywhere, but when it comes to like reading comments and stuff, because that's kind of like what I do with the tweets. And I'm also looking at the Instagram and the Reddit, whatever. It's not true. I just really don't think it is, because I am collecting the tweets, and I'm going to be honest, you know, 90% of the OC tweets every week are like Tamra hate, but they're from accounts that I follow that are real accounts that I use for tweets for every show. And they sometimes have like up and down opinions. A lot of them are like, I can't stand Tamra, but I don't want her fired. Like, you know, they have more reasonable opinions. They're not just like psycho, whatever. Now, I don't know. I don't know. Is Tamra getting like some crazy repetitive hate messages? I have no idea. In her inbox? I don't know. But I'm like, Tamra, the audience is not on your side. They're not on your side. They don't like you. It's not bots. You are the problem, Tamra. You are the problem. I don't know how else to say it. Okay. Okay. So, other OC news. Alexis has made this like statement on social media, and it's been floating around everywhere. So, let me read it. So first she puts like a picture of herself and she's doing kind of like a watered down kind of duck face, like not like a full duck face, but close. And her hair is all like wispy and flipped over. And she's got Kelly Clarkson Stronger playing as the song on the Instagram post. I'm just like setting up the vibe here. And this is what she says. I just want to let everyone know that what you're seeing in my career is not real. I'm sorry, is the career in the room with us? Like, what is she? I guess being a friend of is a career. I feel like that's a little loose with that term, but whatever. Let's keep going. So then she says, okay, it's not the truth. There has been so much left out intentionally to paint me in a bad light. It's okay. I'll take one for the team and get ratings for this business, but I will live in truth and I will bring the truth. Whether I have to do it here on my Instagram page or if this career I choose decides to bring the truth out. Again, with the career thing, it's like Shannon Bedore can call this a career. She's been on the show for 10 years and she's got at least a few more left in her, you know? Teresa Giudice, Kyle Richards, those people could call this a career. Alexis, like, it's like a part-time job at best. Like, I'll give you that, Alexis. You can have a part-time job. You have a part-time job on The Real Housewives of OC. Granted, it pays better than most part-time jobs. Congratulations. But enough with the career term. Okay? Okay, then she says, either way, it will come out. And you will also see the true Alexis, because what you're seeing on your TV right now is not me. I love you all, and I do not hate you for hating me, because I would hate me too if I were you. But just hang tight. I'll be speaking the truth after every episode of what has been left out intentionally to paint me as someone I don't even know. It will actually intrigue you all. Live recaps of the truth, starting from episode one, coming ASAP to my IG. And by the way, thank you to my glam squad for this pick. Okay, so now I'm supposed to suffer through Alexis every week on the show. And then I'm also supposed to watch some kind of Instagram live where she's, listen, no. Okay, I'm not even going to finish that sentence. The answer is no. On top of it, if anything, if she does say anything interesting, that if she does put together a coherent thought on these Instagram lives and you know, it makes any sort of difference in the story of her versus her and John versus Shannon, it will get picked up by someone, screen recorded and shared, and I will hear about it. But besides that, I am not going to be sitting there watching Alexis talk and talk. The most obnoxious thing in the world is someone who is not that smart and also talks a lot. That's Alexis. It's just, she never stops and she's all over the place. And listen, and I'm not saying she has nothing to give in the Housewives world. Well, the first time around when she was on Housewives, I couldn't stand her. But, you know, I look back at it and I see her, the entertainment value that she brought, because she was so delusional. And it was almost like delusional. And like it was like campy and kind of funny. You know, she was like, my God is my savior, my husband is my king, and my body is sinful. Like, that's like one of my favorite Real Housewives lines because it's so fucking ridiculous. However, now she's gone into like just delusional and not in a fun way. And I think the fact that she's with Shannon's ex is the real like nail in a coffin. If she had just come back on her own, it might have been different, but This is not good. So, okay. So Emily also posted basically it was a clip of Alexis in an interview. And then on top of it, it has all the comments basically telling Alexis to get off the show. And, you know, the comments are like flying into the clip. Okay. So Emily posted that. And then Alexis responded and she posted on her story. So she reposted Emily's post, and then she posted her own caption saying, keep staying relevant through all other housewives, LOL. Hashtag no storyline. Glad I made your main page. So I guess Alexis is trying to say Emily has no storyline. Listen, here's the thing is, you know, the saying about broken clocks being right twice a day. I mean, she's not wrong. Emily doesn't really have a storyline this season. The whole thing with the body image thing, I do think she's reaching, getting into this with Heather because she just doesn't have a lot else. Like, you know, she's kind of used all her storylines. You know, her husband trying to get past the bar, her issues with her mom. She's done the body image thing. Like every year we've had more than one boudoir shoot. Like it's just getting a little repetitive. So yes. However, I'm not giving Alexis any credit though, because what's your storyline, Alexis? You're also, you know, attaching yourself to, like, this is actually Shannon's storyline, and this storyline would happen even without you on the show. It could still happen. So you're doing the exact same thing. And at least Emily's a full-time housewife, and at least Emily is entertaining to watch and has like some charisma like and some funny one-liners. Like Alexis is just doesn't have any of that. Okay, so I think that's all for OC news for today. But one thing I want to mention is that there is a little bit of tea about Beverly Hills, because, you know, we were talking about Teddy before, even though she's not on Beverly Hills, but whatever. There is an update on the new season of Beverly Hills. The trailer is apparently coming late September, which I feel like we're already in late September, but okay, or early October. So maybe they mean like really at the end. But it will premiere in November. The season is so good. Dorit is in rare form. Think season 7/8 Dorit. Your fave has a tough season, though. Lots of tears. If you post, hide my email. So this wasn't sent to me. I got this from Memes About Bravo from their account. So this is unverified tea. So it's not for sure. Listen, if the trailer comes out, you know, at the end of September, and then we find out that it's premiering in November, then yeah, I'll put more stock into this. But there's also a lot of things in this DM that a lot of people could have made a guess about. Dorit is going to be more on the defense, which we kind of saw that from the last reunion. And Kyle's going to have a tough season, lots of tears. Like, duh, she always does. Unless this person's favorite is someone besides Kyle. But I mean, assuming a Beverly Hills housewife is going to cry is like, you know, telling me the sky is blue. It's really not groundbreaking. Okay, so let's talk about Vanderpump Rules and the Valley, because they kind of overlap a little bit, but we'll start with Vanderpump Rules. So Sheena's car got stolen. Whenever I'm starting with Vanderpump Rules, it's always like Sheena got bit by a horse. Sheena's car got stolen. Like she's just like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, she says in the video, I moved to the Valley. It was supposed to be safer, less crime, and my car got stolen right out of my driveway. Listen, worse things could happen. Still fucking sucks. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, so sorry, Sheena. I don't know what else to say. Ariana is also firing back on Instagram at people who are shit talking her boyfriend. So somebody said, just stating the facts, she can do so much better. And Ariana said, just stating facts, balding, red nose, beady eyes, no lips, sun damage. I don't know if that's your wife, but she could do much better. And then someone else said, sorry, but your boyfriend is busted. And she said, you're easily top three ugliest men I've ever seen. Listen, I'm here for it. I'm not about coming after looks, but if you start it, which these people did, okay? And they're also men, so who cares? Not that like it's okay to body shame or look shame men, but men who come on the internet and are trying to like talk shit about your boyfriend's looks, and then what, we're gonna get upset because she gives it back to them? No, don't start none, won't be none, as Candy says. Now, there's also been a lot of news surrounding Stassi's new book. So I'm aware that she's no longer on Vanderpump Rules, but I still put this under the Vanderpump Rules tab. Basically, she talks about her fallout with Brittany and Jax. So I'm going to read a bit of it. So I get asked about what happened. Okay, blah, blah, blah. With the wedding. So they were, of course, invited, two of our closest friends. They RSVP'd yes, but I didn't hear from them leading up to the wedding, which was weird. Not only that, we started hearing from Beau's best friend, Rob, that Jax was texting him and Tom Schwartz saying they might not go to the wedding and listing all these reasons why. One reason was that Jax doesn't like Europe. What? It's an entire continent. Anyways, a yes RSVP isn't a maybe. It's a definite yes unless something drastic happens. I'm not saying they had to fly to Italy. I get it's a lot to ask, but if they weren't going to come, they could have told us and we could have invited two people who wanted to be there. A little communication would have been nice after the pandemic and so many months of not knowing whether we would get to celebrate at all. You know, it wasn't just like a small petty thing for us. It was deeply painful that they wouldn't come. Imagine your two of your closest friends just didn't want to come. 2 weeks before the wedding, we told them we'd heard that they weren't coming and said it was hurtful to hear it from other people. Jax denied everything at first. When I told him we had texts from him saying they weren't coming, he was like, okay, you're right. But he still said they were coming. She writes that in caps. Then the day we're flying to Italy, a few hours before I'm supposed to leave for the airport, Brittany sends a long text explanation that they aren't coming. It was such a slap in the face. They were supposed to be our ride or die friends, and this felt like they didn't respect the friendship at all. Their wedding in Kentucky had to be the most important thing in our lives for an entire summer when we were filming the show. We were there for all of it. As soon as I read that text, Beau and I were like, we're done. I wasn't going to just roll over from this one. My main issue with Jax is with Jax because I feel Brittany would have wanted to come. Plus, she wasn't texting a bunch of people about it. Lala couldn't come because she was on a podcast tour, and I'm not angry with her because she told us. She didn't pretend she was coming, talk shit about behind our backs, and then cancel at the last minute. It also didn't help that after all this happened, they kept going on podcasts talking about it. On Sheena's podcast, and Brittany ripped into me and my wedding. They kept talking to press and telling people Beau and I we're holding a grudge, etc. You know, what it boils down to is I've been burned by Jax more than once. And then let's see what if she says anything else. That's pretty much it. Oh, wait, at the end, I want to surround myself with people I can count on. Brittany and I are cordial when we see each other at the occasional birthday party. Jax has sent Beau texts asking him to bury the hatchet and come hang out at Jax's bar. That one gave me a good laugh. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's a dick move. Like, you have a wedding. Like, a wedding RSVP means something. You know what I mean? It's not like you're going to, like, someone's backyard barbecue on a Sunday. Like, it's a wedding in Italy that they're paying lots of money for. And if, like she says, if you can't go or you don't want to spend the money or you can't afford, whatever the case is, you can RSVP no. But to RSVP yes and then not go. And a part of me is like, I don't know, is it because it was not going to be filmed? Like, I know Jax was also fired, you know, but I also, a part of me is like, is it because like Jax is just like only fucks with these people because of possible career opportunities it can bring him? And if it doesn't, he's just like, I'm not putting in all this effort for you because I don't really care that much. Because I could kind of see that. Maybe not with Brittany, but with Jax, I could see that. So that's crazy. But, you know, listen, and then just talking about it on media and podcasts and stuff, like, you're just making it look worse for yourself. I bet you that really it was just Jax didn't want to go for whatever reason, because he's like too busy, like doing coke or whatever he's doing. And, you know, what's Brittany going to do? She's going to go without him and have to like spend the whole time explaining why her husband wasn't there. Oh, it's so good she's getting out of that marriage. Okay. Not that I'm saying Brittany's innocent, but yeah. Anyways, so the other thing that came out of Stassi's book that everyone is talking about is this whole thing about her mom guilt. So taken out of context, it sounds like if you take it just like if you just read the passage on its own and you don't read like the follow-up, it can feel like she's mom shaming Sheena, but if you read it in the larger context, it's not. So basically she talks about being at like some party, like birthday party or something with Sheena, and Sheena's like scraping off some of the icing off the cake before she gives it to Summer, and how she's, you know, feeding Summer vegetables and whatever, right? And Sheena and Stassi is talking about her own mom guilt and how she tries, but she can't get her kid to eat any vegetables. Her, like, her kid's favorite part of the cake is the icing. She's like, she doesn't, you know, she didn't scrape it off. She just let her kid have the piece of cake, whatever. Okay. So she's talking about how she has, how mom guilt is such a real thing and we all deal with it. And it's supposed to be one of those like relatable mom things, right? So it was posted on the internet as a thing. And some people took it as like, okay, she's mom shaming Sheena, because like a lot of people read it and were like, oh God, Sheena's like passing on like eating disorder or disordered eating behaviors to her kid. Like, she's at a birthday party, let the kid have cake with icing, which quite frankly, I agree with. But, you know, that being said, who knows, maybe Summer doesn't like a lot of icing. Like, sometimes kids have weird things like that. Like my daughter, this is crazy, my daughter doesn't really like ice cream unless it's cotton candy ice cream, and she will not eat any other flavor. So you could hand my daughter like an ice cream that you would think every kid would like, and she'll be like, ew. So some kids have like crazy things. Like maybe Sheena's daughter doesn't like icing. I don't know. I have no idea. Okay. Could I see Sheena passing on some, you know, disordered eating behaviors possibly to Summer? Also, yes, though, because that's just a very Sheena thing to do. You know, I feel like Sheena's like living in this like superficial LA headspace for so long, being a public figure. You know, she even like made comments on like the recent season, I think, about how she still needs to lose a bit on her stomach, and she's like, you know, 1 pound or whatever. She's tiny, you know, and she's like still thinks that she needs to lose more. So like clearly she might have some body image issues. Is Sheena the first woman on the planet Earth who has passed body image issues on to their daughter? Definitely not. Okay. But again, this is all just speculation based on this one passage from Stassi's book. We don't actually know, right? But what I will say is that, you know, I'm not going to even mom shame Sheena about it. Like, because Sheena thinks she's doing the right thing. She's like, I'm able to get my daughter to eat more vegetables and less sugar. I'm helping her be healthy. And maybe she is passing on some disordered stuff. Maybe it will get into the like Yolanda territory where it's like, you can't even let your kid have a piece of cake on their birthday. I hope it doesn't. You know, I understand why people are sort of like cautious about when you see those behaviors. But again, we don't know, right? So yeah, so that was another thing that was floating around a lot from Stassi's book. So now let's talk about the Valley. Brittany Cartwright was apparently shown graphic text between Jax Taylor and another woman at the Valley finale party. Valley rhymes with so many things. It's like, okay, sorry. Valley finale. So season two of The Valley, in their finale, will capture this bombshell reveal. I mean, this is like Vanderpump Rules. Like, this is like giving me like circa season six of like, you know, the recording of Jax like talking shit about Brittany to Faith. And this is, I'm here for this. I cannot wait. So apparently she was shown, this is from Us Weekly, by the way, graphic and explicit text messages. Listen, this story was floating around. It got attention. Did it cause like, did it shake the world, you know, like Scandoval? No, because we all fully expect this from Jax, right? And we've seen it before. That being said, I'm still here for it, like on the show. So Jax has been spending time with several, this is a quote from the source, with several different women who he meets at his bar or the gym, which is upsetting for those close to him because he isn't focused on getting the help he needs. He can do what he wants, but of course it hurts Brittany. Okay, so does that mean that the explicit texts are from when they were married? Or, okay, I don't know. Okay, so if these are from after they're separated, this is even less. So no wonder this didn't really make waves, because that's, okay, even here, he is single, but it's hard for Brittany and those close to Jax to see his actions. That said, he loves his son and has been a good dad to Cruz. Here's the thing. Even if we don't have evidence of it, Jax was doing this when he was married. If Jax and Brittany weren't having sex, Jax was having sex with someone else. Okay, I don't care what anyone says. You will never convince me otherwise. Jax is getting it somewhere. End of story, period. Okay. And the fact that he's doing it now when he's supposed to be like focusing on his mental health and da-da-da, please. I don't believe that he's focusing on any of that. I think he's just acting the same way as he was married, except now he's single. so he doesn't have to try and hide it as much, right? Okay. So the other thing is we've had a little bit of Brock versus Jax on social media. So Jax was asked a question about Brock. And Jax's response was like, who? Like trying to do the Mariah Carey thing. Like, I don't know her, you know? And then Brock reposts. Okay, so this was it. Brock could have put that up in less than 5 minutes because I guess Jax has been like doing this like whole like home decorating thing on social media. He's like got a new place. He's like, okay, I'm going to hang this painting here. Like, and he's like in my home decorating era. Like, it's really cringe. But anyways, you can go see it on his Instagram if you're not blocked by him. Shockingly, I'm not. But anyways, he responded to that person's text or that person's comment on his Instagram post being like, who? Okay, so then Brock reposted it to his story and said, considering you have me blocked, it means you know my name. But a refresher for you, I'm the guy that helped drop off your kid at school while you were in rehab, buddy. And I use the term rehab very loosely. Okay. Here's the thing, Brock. You remember those kids in Australia? Like, listen, I'm anti-Jax, okay? I agree with Brock. I gotcha, right? Jax sucks. We all know that. And, you know, the rehab thing, none of us are sure where he was or what exactly it was, whatever, right? But the point is that it's hard to kind of like make a parenting dig at someone, especially when they were either in rehab or a mental health facility, both being like valid, real things. And you just kind of abandon your kids just for like whatever. I don't know. To like come and try and be famous in LA and start banging a reality star. And I like, and what do you do? Like, I don't know. Okay. So it's maybe the right message from the wrong messenger, I guess. Right? Okay. So let's get into some Summer House news. Okay. So this isn't like a big thing, but it's kind of entertaining, which is that, you know, the Spritz Wars are official. Okay. So Craig put out an ad for Spritz, which he is now a partner in, and he's, you know, wearing a Spritz hat and he's like out on a boat and like, you know, cruising and having the best time. And this is his caption. The news is finally out. In 2023, I discovered Spritz Society's canned cocktails on the way to a concert. I instantly fell in love with them and knew I had to get involved somehow. A year later, I am proud to announce that I've partnered with Spritz Society to develop my own signature flavor, lemon iced tea. Very creative. Every sip tastes like home to me and I can't wait to share it with you. And then Andy Cohen commented and he goes, not since Coke versus Pepsi have we seen a Spritz war like this. So then we get a Loverboy ad, you know, like a day or a couple days later, and it's an ad featuring Kyle and Amanda. I have to be honest, it's a pretty good ad. It's kind of funny and it's like quirky. And yeah, like it's actually good. Amanda's acting is not great, but whatever. Kyle's acting is actually really good in the ad. So theirs is for their non-alcoholic like spritz or whatever. And it's just funny that it came out soon after and Andy posted that. I'm really looking forward to this on the next season. I love this kind of petty thing. I want to hear everyone's perspective about the Spritz War. I want to see what kind of shit Paige is going to talk. I want it all. Okay. Cannot wait for that. Okay. Let's go to Salt Lake City news because Salt Lake City premiered. Great premiere. And with the premiere has come a lot of drama online. Let's start with Monica. So a couple of things we found out basically on like the night of the premiere or the day of or the day before. So, you know, she's jumping on the Salt Lake City, you know, press, all everyone talking about Salt Lake City, and perfect time for her to announce that she's going to be the voice of the house on this season of House of Villains, which has premiered. So yeah, so I guess, you know, she's working. That's good. And then Monica, listen, I'm okay without Monica being on this season, but I also would have been happy for her to come back too. But I don't think it's like the biggest blow to the show. And I think the premiere kind of proved that. Now, it's too early to say for sure because I need to see the whole season, but I think these ladies can do it. Okay, so then let me see what. So somebody, I don't know what the original post was, but Lisa Barlow said something. You know, I thought it was in reaction to Angie, but now I'm like, wait, was it in reaction to Monica? So Lisa Barlow said, "Oh, hey, bench warmer bitch. I don't think you get what's going on. Go trip on a scroll or something." So I thought that was in reaction to Angie, which I think it is because Angie had that whole scroll thing, right? And then Monica reposted that and wrote, "When they cost you your job, but use your lines." So yeah, Lisa was talking to Angie. And then Monica also wrote, "Again, you're welcome, baby wrinkles." So I guess, you know, this was like the premiere day of SLC. And Monica was clearly butthurt. You know, she's clearly pissed that she's not on this season. She's not over it, etc. And then they had like a whole, you know, there was a whole like video posted that had that scene where Whitney's like defending herself against the whole group, like the end of the premiere episode, which I'm sure if you've watched, you know what I'm talking about. And then Monica also reposted that video and wrote, "fuming. This is exactly why they didn't want my ass there. Wouldn't have happened on my watch. And they know that. They stay weak, only wanting unworthy opponents around them so they feel tall, toe to toe every damn time." So I guess Monica's trying to say that if she was on this season, she would have been team Whitney and she would have defended Whitney, or this just wouldn't have happened because they wouldn't have been like strong or comfortable enough to do like a whole group Whitney takedown. Because yeah, Whitney did seem to like be the most forgiving of Monica, like in the finale last year, not the finale, but the reunion last year. And since the reunion, she's the only one who I think has like reached out or even was like, okay, we could maybe mend things. You know what I mean? And I obviously that's what Heather's going to be all pissy about this season. But listen, at the end of the day, you know, Monica's not wrong about why they want her. I don't think it was just to take down Whitney, but I do think they kind of have, there is a little bit of this like gang mentality between like the OGs and the like, don't try, you know, it's sort of like, don't try to take us down. Don't try to come for us. And if you do, even though we have our own shit between each other, we will come for you and get you kicked off. Right. And even though Whitney is part of the OG group, I think they look at her as like, oh, you're betraying. You know, it's like you're like, it's like Whitney's like in the mob and she's like talking to the FBI. Right. So, yeah. So the other things going on social media is, you know, and I mean, Lisa Barlow did use Monica's line, to be fair. But anyways, so Lisa, I guess, posted that comment about the scroll. So, oh, hey, bench warmer bitch, I don't think you get what's going on. Go trip on a scroll or something. And then there's been a bunch of like back and forth between all of them because of that. You know, Meredith was like, the only scroll I read is the Torah. And then the video she posted is Angie like doing that like choreographed dance with Jen Shaw and her whole crew. And then Lisa responded, Mazel Tov. It's just these girls here. And then Angie reposted Meredith's tweet where she said, the only scroll I read is the Torah. And it has the video that Angie, remember when Angie did that video to like, they did like the WAP dance. It was like her, Jen Shaw, and a bunch of like Jen Shaw's minions. So Angie reposted that and wrote, true. I was real friends with Jen until I learned she'd scam the elderly out of money. Unlike you, who followed her all the way to prison for airtime. Mazel tov to baby gorgeous. Glad to see your spirits are up considering all your recent legal and repo troubles. Kissy face. Wow. Okay. Angie's got, good job, Angie. Wow. That was a good comeback. And then Lisa Barlow said, remember how you charge Jen for a party. Remember how you charged Jen for a party you offered to throw? I'm surprised you could get all of this out there without tripping all over that lip filler. Pay your employees that $9 an hour. Pay your employees that $9 an hour just isn't cutting it. God, these girls need to proofread before you tweet, ladies. And then Angie responds and says, my lips are as full as my life. Thanks to my doctor who I pay with my own Amex card, not a Park City mystery man's. Unlike Lisa's G-Wagon, my lips can't get repoed. I'm not your bestie in prison, so I'm not interested in a gangbang, but it's cute you two had to team up. Night. Wow. I mean, God, Angie is just owning them. Like, no matter whose side you're on, Angie is owning them with these comebacks. They've been fighting online. Now, Meredith also in an interview said that she thinks Whitney Rose has the most trouble this season telling the truth. So clearly the ladies are like, they are laser focused on Whitney. Whitney also in an interview with ET said that she thinks that Meredith has information about all the women stored on her phone. So I don't know if that's going to come up maybe later this season. I'm going to assume that it will. Now there's also from Housewives Nightcap, a little video kind of floating around from the premiere with, you know, Lisa fighting with Whitney at that dinner, etc. And Lisa commented on it and said, oh, sorry, it's not just the clip of that. It's like an interview with Whitney where she talks about, like, in it, she says, like, Lisa's a villain. You know, she's definitely like an actor because on the show she's very fake and she's like playing a role and all this kind of stuff. And then Lisa responded to that and it said, obsessed with me. We all know Whitney practiced this a million times in her bathroom mirror. I love Wendy's and Diet Coke and they love me back. And then Lisa said, she said PhD in Lisa Barlow. So I guess at one point in the interview, Whitney says, oh, she's, you know, I don't know anything about her except that she like loves Diet Coke and apparently works at Wendy's now. Right. So Lisa's like, okay, she rehearsed that in the mirror and I love Wendy's or whatever. Right. That was her comeback. These girls are fighting on social media. They do a lot on Twitter. There's not a lot of Housewives casts that are super active as like a whole cast on Twitter. It's really just, who is it? It's really Salt Lake City and Dubai, where you have like almost the whole cast being active. Like you have other shows where you get a couple people on Twitter here and there, like Beverly Hills Garcelle's like fairly active, but you know, like Dorit and Kyle, they're not, and Erica, like they're not really on it. New Jersey, you know, they're not really, like they used to, now they don't as much. They don't really tweet a lot. They're more on the Instagram, right? So I guess on OC, like Shannon is on there here and there, but not really. Tamara's all over it, obviously. So it's interesting because Salt Lake City, they're all pretty active on Twitter. So you get a lot of these like back and forths, which is something that we had with Dubai this season that I thought was even more interesting than the show. Like the back and forths on Twitter were like more entertaining than some of the episodes. So yeah. Okay. So what else do we have from Salt Lake City? So Lisa Barlow kind of claimed on Watch What Happens Live that losing her $100,000 ring was fake news. I don't know. So this whole thing is weird. So Face Reality 16 on Instagram, shout out Face Reality 16, posted like a bunch of receipts about this. So I'm going to read their caption. It's been found is very different than it fell off my finger, but I caught it. She got a fancy new ring from Molly Sims out of it, though. So good for her. I wonder who the source to Page Six was. Okay, so Page Six says this. Okay, this was the original thing. So Page Six says a party goer told Page Six that the reality star was dancing behind the party's DJ booth when the ring flew from her hand and she went to join Hudson in the VIP area. Having this be her first New York Fashion Week, it didn't start with a sparkling start. She was certainly sad. Lisa's always cold, so her rings are always falling off, the source added. The club, of course, was so dark and pumping that. It was so dark and pumping, sorry, that it was impossible to find. And doing a deep dive search for the ring was out of the question because the nightclub was jam-packed. Okay, so Barlow had to head back to her hotel without her precious ring. Okay, then, hang on, next. Then we have Lisa. We have some comments from Lisa, and this was after this happened, where Lisa says, "Oh my gosh, so funny. I found it, thank goodness, and the show and party were worth it." And then somebody says, "Was this pic taken before you lost that ring or after?" And then Lisa responded, "It's been found." Okay. So it's just kind of confusing, right? And then on Watch What Happens Live, you know, she kind of says, like, it fell off my finger, but I caught it. Okay. So which one is it? Like, was this like she just wanted a headline? That's what it's giving. It's giving like she just maybe wanted a headline, and this is kind of like, oh my God, she lost another ring. Or, because I don't understand, like, what are we accusing her of here? Like, of pretending to lose a ring that she didn't really lose so she could get a new one? But then that doesn't make sense, because then she says that she found it. So I don't know. To me, this is like a PR thing gone wrong, where people couldn't get their story straight. And this is what happens when you try to lie too much. You get caught in your own lies, right? So yeah. Okay. Now, the last thing I have to talk about with Salt Lake City is that the White House, yes, the official White House, posted receipts, proof, timeline, screenshots, and then posted the Biden-Harris record and a link to it for everyone to, you know, go read their record of everything they've done, etc. I mean, listen, am I happy that Housewives has, you know, gotten into the cultural mindset, and that people are using this, and that, you know, it's putting Salt Lake City and Bravo on the map even more and all this kind of, yes, of course, love it. Like, we all get excited. When Scandoval was in, like, you know, the New York Times or CNN, we were all like, oh my God, it's cool. But it's also like, this is kind of played out. Can we stop? The receipts, proof, timeline. Like, listen, I love it as much as anyone else did the original time, but we're going to beat it to death. It's like when you listen to a song too many times and you forget why you liked it, and then you're sick of it and you don't want to listen to it anymore. We're in that territory. Okay. We're really in that territory. All right. So let's end off, as promised, with Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. So Dakota and Taylor may have broken up, but we don't know for sure. But we're just kind of speculating. But okay. Basically, Dakota posted this story the other day. It was an Instagram story. And she wrote, it's a picture of herself sleeping with her baby on top of her. It's like, you know, she's took a selfie of the two of them, like, cuddling. And it says, "Here's to a new chapter of my life. I think I'll be the most challenging yet most rewarding." So obviously she means, I think it'll be the most challenging yet most rewarding. Okay. So I posted that to my story and I was like, okay, does this mean that they broke up, or is she talking about, like, raising a kid, being not married, and then also having her kids from her divorce? Like, you know, I don't know. It could be a lot of things. But then I'm like, okay, but if she's with Dakota and he's like the other full-time parent and they live together, which is, that was like the last thing that we knew of, you know, it's like, okay, what does she mean? Or did something new happen? Like, you know, it had everyone speculating. So now this TikTok creator at Emily C. Schwartz says that she has a source who she cannot reveal, and it is confirmed that Taylor and Dakota have broken up. So to me, that's not confirmed. Okay. Until we have, like, an official kind of news outlet, etc., or Taylor herself or Dakota say, yes, we are broken up. Until then, this is just gossip and speculation. I'm not saying, like, maybe this girl from TikTok, maybe she does have reliable sources. Maybe she does know someone who's, like, good friends with them, lives down the street, knows that he saw him move out. I don't fucking know. That could be true. But it also could not be true. It also could just be somebody trying to get more views on TikTok and more engagement, and who saw Taylor's Instagram story like I did and started to speculate. It could be that too. So we take it with a grain of salt. Okay, we don't know for sure. Would I be surprised? No. Clearly, those two were fighting nonstop. It was toxic. I kind of hope they did break up. I think that's what's better for her and him and the baby. They were, you know, I said this on my episode with Manny, which you will listen to later this week, I hope, if you're watching the show and you're interested. But I did say, like, there is a bit of a honeymoon phase after you have a baby, especially like the first few days where you're just like in this euphoria. But then shit gets real, right? And that kind of starts to fade and wear off. And yeah, so I could see this being around the time of, you know, his excitement too about being a first-time parent wears off, the reality sets in, and he's out. I don't know. Or not that he's like bi to the baby necessarily, but that he's not on his best behavior anymore. And they start going at it. And that's it. Right? So I could totally see that that may have happened. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. And you are now in the know for everything Bravo. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.